Of course, listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 14th day of March. I'm Todd Gleason from U of I Extension. On the phone line today is Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises and based out of Mandeville, Louisiana, but I believe somewhere in the Midwest, maybe in the state of Illinois today. Hi, Dan. Where are you today?
I just got done with a new meeting at Utica. With a group of farmers just visiting by the market. I'm on my way to Bloomington right now and probably catch a flight down to Texas tomorrow.
What happened in the marketplace, though, at the moment? The March contracts all, I think, expired and went off the board, at least in the grains and the oil seeds today. Did it go pretty normally or not?
Well, anytime, a lot of times when your front months have a premium to the next month that's going to become lead futures, you'll get a lot of weakness, and I think that's kind of what we maybe have seen over the last day or two as this March contract expires. May futures now will have a ways to go climb to kind of fill in, especially corn is going to come on lead futures month. Well underneath what the March futures is going to go off at. So it'll be the function of the market then for May corn futures to try to rally and close that lead futures chart gap probably as we go on into that March 28th report here in a couple weeks. That's the main focus of the market at this point. You know, what's the stocks number going to be and what kind of planning number is USA going to throw at us, at least initially. And then by then, the weather will become more important, I think, looking out to see what kind of weather we're going to have during the first half of April, because at least the way we're going at the moment, there's not going to be a lot of early planting, at least what we see right now anyway.
It's we'll know what the gap looks like once we open again tonight, but at the moment, it could be as much as 16 cents. That's a pretty good-sized gap to fill to the upside, I would think.
Well, corn has a muscle to do that. I mean, like I say, you know, in the cash grain market, cash corn is just getting harder and harder to find. If the December 1 stocks number is to be to believe, then we know there's variance factors in all of these stocks numbers that this March 1 number is going to show very tight stocks. And it is very well could show that we still have a lot of work to do in the form of rationing old crop inventories. A lot of people are kind of relating this year to similar to what we did in 1996. The 95 crop was short, and we needed to ration inventory, and the March 31st report came out. And it showed that we failed to do any rationing at all during the first 6 months of the crop year. So then that was the year that we broke into new record highs and marched our way on to 550. And whether or not we have that much power behind the market, we'll have to see what USDA gives us as far as the numbers go. But, you know, as I have talked many times at Outlook meetings, that it just seems that we're 400 million bushels short of supply to get by. So either we're going to have to cut demand by 400 million, or we're going to have to maybe import a couple hundred million bushels of corn from maybe Brazil. We maybe have to feed, you know, 100 to 150 million bushels of wheat or a combination of thereof, some cut back, whatnot. But it just looks to me like we need to find another 400 to 500 million bushels of corn and or ration that demand to get by, and then you know to top it off this year. You know, a year ago we were 80 degrees. Some farmers were starting to plant in central Illinois, and today we still have snow around, and it's the forecast that you kind of read to the audience there before I came on. Does it look like we're going to be planting anytime soon?
No, it doesn't look like we'll be moving anytime soon. But it is the month of March, and we got some time to do that. So let me take this 400 million up. How much of that do you really think we can ration out? Do you think a couple hundred million, and then that we can ration out, and then 200 million that we would have to replace with substitute wheat, maybe some imports of corn. Where do you stand on?
Well, it all depends upon your area, and it's probably going to be rationed out in the ethanol market. It'll be that ethanol plant that will have bought all the corn up in their buying area, their circle, whatever it is, 50-mile circle, 100-mile circle, whatever it is. Once they bought all that corn up, and then they got to keep going out further and start paying a higher price for it, then they go into the red, so they shut down. So we have already had several shut down, and my guess is that will be the model as we go forward. If we do need to cut back 400 million, it'll be just one plant at a time as they run out of corn in their buying area. And as I said, we're halfway through the marketing year, and corn supplies are very tight. So that's my guess. It's going to work out that way. I think we will see some Brazilian corn imports come into the Southeast market probably this summer, whether that's 100 million or 150 million. I do think we're going to see some of that come in. And we're already starting to hear soft red winter wheat inventory moving to Hereford, Texas. So it sounds like some of the cattle feedlots are willing now to start mixing some wheat in their rations. So, and that, I think that's what's given wheat somewhat of a boost. Wheat has been a feed grain the way it's been priced. We had a good weekly export sales number. And then talk of that working its way into feed rations to ease the supply of corn. So I think that's one of the reasons why we had a pretty strong wheat market here today.
So at the end of the year, will we have 600, 800, or a million left in the bin for corn?
Well, my best guess, and all it is a guess, is I think it'll be tough to get it underneath 800 million. Like I said, I think we're 200 million too short on feed usage already, and then that all of a sudden that puts any stocks down around 400. So then that tells me that we got to either cut 400 million worth of demand out, or we're going to have to replace it with some other commodity.
So you're really looking for the export market's done. So you're really truly looking for ethanol just to shut down at some point.
Well, I think that explains why the RINs are at a dollar. I think your oil companies are already looking ahead, realizing they have to fulfill the mandate, but the supply is not going to be there because the corn's not there to grind. So I think that's why your RIN levels are at a dollar or whatever, and the market is already preparing for some of that. As we get toward the end of the crop year.
This was not something we didn't expect. We've been thinking about the RIN market and that it might be used this year and next, potentially, since last fall, I suppose. So it's one of the things that's, I guess, a safety net of some sort built into the marketplace.
Well, that's what looks like today, 2 weeks from now.
It might not look so safe.
the whole picture could be turned upside down.
Yeah.
It's interesting times work in a market like this. You just don't know what you're going to wake up to the next morning or what's going to come into play. I still am very concerned with outside market activity. It just looks to me like there's a lot of turbulence in the currency markets, in the financial markets with interest rates and our politicians can only kind of run the government 1 month at a time, it looks like. Who knows what the picture is going to look like as we go down the road, 3 to 6 months. But there's no doubt about it that if weather breaks favorably our way, we'll have a nice big crop. And prices are going to be lower than what we've had over the past few years, but I don't think sharply lower. I think anything sharply would have to be also triggered by some other force, and then I think that would be more of a short-term spike in the market on the downside, and then we could recover. But there's no doubt about it that we're walking a thin line on overall food supplies, at least at the moment.
Thank you so much, Dan. I'll talk to you again in another hour.
Okay, very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana.